Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Pope Francis, the first pontiff from the Americas, has died at the age of 88. So church bells around the world, and particularly across Italy, where I just was in Italy, and there's literally a church, a Catholic church, on every block. So I can only imagine what that's like in Italy this morning as those church bells are sounding. But the word was, dearest brothers and sisters, with deep sorrow, I must announce the death of our Holy Father Francis, that from that official word from the Vatican this morning. So Pope Francis's successor will be chosen during a conclave, a gathering of the College of Cardinals, who are tasked, obviously, with electing the next pope. So officially, the grieving period is 9 days. Usually the funeral would be anywhere from 4 to 6 days. But Pope Francis, the Argentine Jesuit, became the first Roman Catholic pontiff from the Americas, as we say, and he has died. That official word from the Bishop of Rome.
That was, what, 12 years he was officially in that role, I believe?
Yes, and so it was early on in his papacy that he was here in Philly. I covered that. I was still on the TV side of things, but I had covered the Pope here a decade ago. So he was a relatively new Pope. Remember that in Philadelphia? And so I was working it, but the city was criticized for locking the city down a little bit too much. And so it was kind of like a desert. All the restaurants were closed because it was so restrictive with security. But a lot of people just remembering that he was here in Philadelphia a decade ago.
Is this tied into the way his health was over the last couple of months, where he was, I guess, what, on and off respirators and ventilators and things like that?
Yeah, so
pneumonia, right?
Yeah, pneumonia. So he had been hospitalized, but to the delight of so many, he had made the appearance, the surprise appearance yesterday in Rome, and just the crowd erupting and cheers, and so happy to see him in the Pope Mobile on Easter Sunday.
Wow.
And then passed
we still
away.
Have a sports pope, though.
Now, this
sports
is,
pope is still here.
This is the same pope that Biden dropped a deuce at, right, at the Vatican, right,
that's
Sean?
The same pope.
Okay.
Just clarifying
for those out there.
Yes, the same guy that I believe drove a Sleepy Jose Caca in Frente del Papa.
Yeah.
The pope was never the same, right?
Yeah.
Operation Tootsie Roll.
And so the Pope, as you say, he'd been ill since actually February, was in the hospital with bronchitis, and then it turned into pneumonia in both lungs, a bacterial, viral, and fungal infection on top of the chronic bronchitis. So he was really battling, you know, for months, but he died at home in peace, as they say, and had given a traditional Easter address from a wheelchair. He also had just met with U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance.
Okay.
As well.
Yeah, I'm seeing some of the highlights of yesterday at the Vatican. He was rolled out in a Mercedes-Benz, looks like almost like a Jeep. Very interesting.
Yeah, so
he looked good yesterday.
He did. So he held out. He obviously held out through Easter.
Yeah.
And died early this morning. So we're just getting that news, and obviously many paying tribute and then looking ahead to the next pope. It was a rough Easter weekend for those on the Temple campus and a lot of Temple University students. Word from Philadelphia police, at least four, and Temple University police, at least four Temple University students assaulted over Easter weekend, and seven people under arrest, according to police. More taken into custody over the weekend. University officials looking into three assaults that just happened yesterday. One attack involving a student, and the other two who were attacked were actually underage juveniles not connected to the school. So these come a day after Temple officials had said three of the university students were hurt Saturday in those incidents involving a large group of unsupervised minors. So these kids, and we're told Jennifer Griffin put out a statement in the Department of Public Safety saying that the spring break for many Philadelphia school children who are being blamed for this, K through 12th graders are on spring break as well.
Showing up on college campus.
Showing up on Temple, obviously, right. Located in North Philadelphia.
Yeah, making my school proud once again.
Yeah, so these were. And this news brought to you this morning as we look at the cooler than usual forecast for today, sponsored by Garden State Earthworks. But we do have now, for the first time, we're hearing that chilling 911 call. The audio has been released after the man charged with attempted homicide for allegedly setting the Pennsylvania governor's residence on fire. Governor Josh Shapiro and his family were sleeping inside that first evening of Passover. Well, now we have the 911 audio, that call as part of it in that chilling audio. The caller saying that, telling dispatchers the governor needs to be told, quote, he will not take part in his plans for what he wants to do to the Palestinian people. So Governor Josh Shapiro, here's one of the quotes. Governor Josh Shapiro needs to know Cody Bomber will not take part in his plans for what he wants to do to the Palestinian people, adding that Governor Shapiro needed to, quote, stop having my friends killed. So that audio attributed by authorities to 38-year-old Cody Bomber, charged obviously last week. We've talked about this case quite a bit, but charged with attempted murder, aggravated arson, burglary, terrorism, and many related offenses. Thank goodness the governor and his family and everybody inside the governor's mansion, they got out safely, but millions of dollars in damage. This is, if you've seen the pictures and images of this, extensive damage.
So Bomber is the one who placed the 911 call after being the one who set the place on fire.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So we now have that audio just released. And we know that he was charged. Some of his family members speaking out, saying that, yes, he struggles with mental illness, and that indeed he had called local police in recent weeks after he stopped taking his medication for bipolar disorder as well as schizophrenia and had become irritable and agitated.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
That from
I
his family.
Tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah.
So we're following that one for you. We have a lot going on. The forecast today, we're looking at 65 degrees, a cooler day, a cloudy day, some rain this evening. It will tee us up for the heat coming in tomorrow. We're looking at 79 degrees for your Tuesday.
All right.
In a nice warm stretch. But like I say, we'll have to get through today a little cooler, cloudy day today. Garden State Earthworks appropriately sponsoring us this morning, our first edition Kill & Company News Live. Do you have water on your property? Maybe giving you a headache, soggy yards, damp patio, floating, wrinkling pool liners, water invading your home? Just call our friends at Garden State Earthworks, your drainage solution, 856-848-4444. Thank you, Garden State Earthworks, for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live, first edition.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:11 Monday morning. Let's kick off another week with another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the Big Take this morning, the left and political violence. You know, the left has embraced violence now as part of their ideology. The Democrat Party does nothing to denounce it. And what's happening in America has become embarrassing as the Democrats have no candidate to rally around, no message, no policy, just hate and physical harm. And nothing illustrates this more than what transpired on Friday at Florida State University, as well as new revelations in the Carmelo Anthony case in Texas, and of course with the ongoing saga of Kilmer Abrego Garcia and El Salvador. And these are the hills that left-wingers are dying on. This is the gradual escalation and culmination of Trump derangement syndrome. It starts with threat to democracy, then it became Hitler and Nazis, then we have vandalized Teslas, now we have attempts on people's lives and mass shootings. But let's start with Kilmer Abrego Garcia and this never-ending story. Late last week, Maryland Democrat Senator Chris Van Hollen flew to El Salvador to meet with the MS-13 member. Garcia remains in El Salvador, and Van Hollen remains a fool. But the story took another twist on Friday. Here is Garcia's wife on ABC's Good Morning America with Michael Strahan. Listen and watch.
I have to ask it. You did take out a temporary order of protection against your husband in 2021. Were you in fear of your husband?
Husband is alive. That's all I can say.
Okay. And you know, I'm not going to push on that, apparently. But how much hope?
She had nothing to say about the heinous nature of her husband. Kudos to Strahan for asking the question, but a terrible job of following up. You have to follow up with a second question in that spot. And this guy has been deemed an MS-13 member by two judges and a police department. He's a wife beater. He was pulled over in Tennessee, and he was let go by the Biden FBI and the DOJ. And this is the guy that Democrats are using to fight back against Trump's border victories. And leading the charge, of course, on television, Pocahontas. Here's Liz Warren spewing nonsense on MSNBC. Listen and watch.
We do not disappear people in the United States. Because here's the thing. If they can disappear Mr. Abrego Garcia, then they can disappear you. It's about disappearing people, but it's also about obeying court orders. But now what we've got is truly a man who threatens it, a spineless bunch of Republicans in the House and Senate who help it along. And the American people saying, wait a minute, I think this is the moment we're going to have to start fighting back for our country.
Democrat Party favorability rating is disappearing as well. 21% and dropping. Could go lower than that at some point this week. Speaking of low numbers, let's go to CNN. Here's Tom Homan schooling Caitlin Collins on the facts of this case. Listen and watch.
I've seen some people look at this and say they're worried that the stance of this administration when it comes to this is that if someone is deported by accident, that they have no responsibility for them once they are in the custody of another, of a foreign government. What would you say to that?
Well, they're in the custody of El Salvador. He's an El Salvadoran national. He was born in El Salvador. El Salvador has him in custody, and El Salvador decide what will happen to him. I mean, again, the El Salvadoran president made it clear he's not going to release him. So, again, I'm going to go back to the DOJ. They can fight this out in the courts. As I'm not a part of that. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a prosecutor. So we'll let the courts, you know, decide what the next steps will be.
Even though it was a U.S. immigration judge who said the one place he can't go is El Salvador. I mean, he could have been deported literally anywhere else.
Again, we keep going back and back. But again, that was years ago. Country conditions were different. That gang no longer exists in El Salvador. He had been designated a terrorist since that time. Two different federal judges said he's an MS-13 member. A police department said he's an MS-13 member. ICE status shows he's an MS-13 member. El Salvador says he's an MS-13 member. As you know, MS-13 has been designated terrorist. The case has, the facts of the case have changed since that first decision. So again, I'll leave it up to the DOJ to argue that case in court, but that is where I stand, and that's my belief.
Imagine trying to say that Garcia isn't MS-13. All of the facts show that this guy has ties and connections to the gang. Let's move on to the second huge story, and that is Carmelo Anthony, the 17-year-old who admitted to killing Austin Metcalf by stabbing him in the heart with a knife. He claims self-defense. His family has made him out to be the victim, a victim who had bail dropped by 75%, who's living in a $900,000 home and driving a $150,000 SUV, according to reports. Here was his defense attorney as the family spoke for the first time on Friday. Listen and watch.
The father being at this press conference, these are my words. Don't quote anybody. Is a disrespect to the dignity of his son. Next Generation Action Network from the beginning has respected the loss of life. No matter our opinion of it, we have kept our opinion close. We have not attacked, we have not shared the information that was shared with us about Austin Metcalf, because we respect the dignity of life.
That was Minister and Attorney Dominique Alexander, who actually had the temerity to spin this towards Austin Metcalf's father, a dad who lost his son, showing up at a press conference and somehow he's the bad guy. Well, this type of rhetoric from Attorney Alexander shouldn't shock you. According to reports, the guy is a real creep. He has a 10-year history of criminal convictions and run-ins with the law, including felony injury to a child in 2009, forging a check, leading police on a high-speed chase, felony assault, misdemeanor assault, and stealing a car. All of these occurred between 2009 and 2019. Carmelo Anthony admitted to stabbing someone to death. His family claims they are the victims, and now they hire an attorney with a track record more like O.J. Simpson than Johnny Cochran. But it gets worse. Austin Metcalf's dad, he unfortunately now has something in common with Sean Farish. He was swatted. Here's the ABC affiliate in Texas with that news. Listen and watch.
Better breaking news and an update on the deadly stabbing in Frisco. Frisco police just confirmed a swatting call was made tonight to an address belonging to the victim's father. Now, that's a prank call designed to bring a lot of police to a scene. Tonight, Jeff Metcalf confirms to WFAA he wasn't home when it happened, but he did arrive about 5 minutes later. Now, this is new information, and right now we're working to learn more details. But earlier today, everything stopped and heads turned when Metcalf showed up to a news conference called by the suspect's family. Tonight, Matt Howerton has a desperate plea from Carmelo Anthony's mother.
They came to speak for the accused. Jeff Metcalf came for his son. The father of Austin Metcalf surprised cameras at a press conference in Dallas Thursday, waiting for the mother of Carmelo Anthony to speak for the first time. Anthony, 17, now charged with murder, out on bond after telling police he stabbed Metcalf in self-defense. Metcalf's father asked to leave the press conference, and then it began like this.
The father being at this press conference, these are my words. Don't quote anybody. It's a disrespect to the dignity of his son.
Metcalf telling WFAA he was just there to listen.
I'm not here to create a disturbance. I'm just here to stand by and witness this press conference.
And shook the hands of officers before leaving.
Since he was asked to leave the press conference, we asked Metcalf what he thought about those remarks. Thursday night, he told us he's not talking to any media right now.
The media, the race hustlers, the grifters, completely ignoring facts and trying to make another George Floyd story. It's not going to work. Finally, we go to Tallahassee, the state capital of Florida and the home of Florida State University, where sadly on Friday, a mass shooting occurred at the school. Multiple casualties, multiple injuries. The suspect identified as 20-year-old Phoenix Eichner, the son of a Leon County, Florida sheriff's deputy. Police say he, quote, unfortunately had access to her gun. That was his mom, and the gun was used in the shooting. According to FSUnews.com, an article written in January prior to Inauguration Day featured a story on protesters at FSU to Donald Trump's presidency and attending the protest and giving quotes, the shooter that we just mentioned. He said, quote, fight Trump's backwards agenda, end the genocide in Gaza, stop racist attacks on immigrants, and defend women's and LGBTQ plus rights. Phoenix Eichner, a political science major, said, quote, I think it's a little too late. Trump's already going to be inaugurated on January 20th, and there's not really much you can do unless you outright revolt, end quote. Another mentally ill human fed dangerous rhetoric by the media and Democrats who acts on their words and then takes the lives of innocent people. But I'm sure Democrats will blame guns. They've become the party of outward hate, open racism, and obnoxious speech, all because they don't like Donald J. Trump. But I'm sure the face and the voice of the Democrat Party, they'll take a stand and denounce this violence soon enough. Actually, I'm sure they won't. And sadly, that's the truth. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, Big Take this morning. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210 is the phone number. On social media, at 1210WPHT. And, of course, you can let it rip in the YouTube chat. Just go to youtube.com/1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. Come back, get everybody's thoughts from all of those stories, as well as SCOTUS with the illegal immigration case, Kilmer Abrego-Garcia, and also, did Senator Van Hollen break a law from the 1700s when he went to El Salvador for his Friday photo op? We'll get into that as we continue. But first, a word from our friends at Bucks County Estate Traders, because they don't make furniture like they used to. If you're tired of cheap, mass-produced junk, let me tell you about Bucks County Estate Traders. Their massive Hatfield showroom has over 16,000 pieces of high-end furniture, Brands like Stickley, Baker, Henrodon, and more. The kind of quality craftsmanship that stands the test of time. And you can save thousands compared to new retail prices. No matter your style, classic, modern, rustic, or traditional, you'll find stunning pieces that fit today's homes. Whether you're furnishing your living room or dining room, that home office, or even that man cave, Bucks County Estate Traders, they have it all. And unlike the big box stores, if you see something you love, you can take it home the same day. Every piece with a QR code, which displays details instantly, and their expert staff is the best in the business. No pushy salespeople, just straight shooters who know their stuff. And a pro tip, how about this? Check out their website, call ahead. They'll have the pieces you want ready to show. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or stop by their showroom in Hatfield and tell them Nick sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
A wife beater as well as an MS-13 gang member, but these are the hills Democrats are going to die on these days. Your thoughts?
Yeah, they sure know how to pick their heroes, don't they? Abrego Garcia is, Van Hollen basically called him an American yesterday. He's not. Michael Strahan, a hard-hitting NFL player, the softest interview I've seen since Kamala Harris went on 60 Minutes. Yes. And the Metcalf story, the clip that you played during the big take of that local affiliate who basically said, Jeff Metcalf was swatted. It's when the cops show up to someone's house on a false call. But he showed up to the press conference, you know, and it was, the fact that they downplayed the swatting.
No, it's a prank. Very serious. It's a prank.
It's a prank call. Just a prank call. Yeah. Like, okay, cool. How about you go through it? He downplays that and then kind of attempts to smear or hit Metcalf over going to that press conference. You know what I find interesting about that too is Metcalf was asked to leave the press conference and he didn't kill anybody on the way out. Imagine that, imagine that. He didn't stab anyone. He didn't get upset. He just left, like a civilized human being that isn't a threat to society. And I don't even think Jeff Metcalf has played the victim once, even though his family are the victims of this heinous act committed by Carmelo Anthony, who is yet another one of these leftist darlings that they just flock to and want to make their hero. So it is bizarre to see the hills the Democrats are retreating to defend. But that explains their 21% approval rating. And it explains how new leadership like David Hogg came to find their new positions in the DNC.
Boy, if they're going to trot out David Hogg as the face of the Democrat Party moving forward, be my guest. Absolutely be my guest. Another young beta male, Trump, Republicans, Vance, I don't even know if he's a legit candidate or if he's just the face of the DNC, whatever it is. If that's the direction they want to go in, by all means. Like, I feel bad for the kid. He had to deal with the Parkland shooting. He's now has a career as a gun activist and all this other nonsense. More power to him, but it doesn't concern me one bit. I'll tell you what does concern me though, Dawn, is these judges. This judge here with the deportation of Kilmar Abrego Garcia and the fact that we could have a president who has done such a good job on delivering on his promise of securing the border and issuing and delivering mass deportations. And now we basically have a judge that will get to dictate what the president can and cannot do. And like, we understand the way the process works with these federal district judges. And then there's the appellate court and then it goes to SCOTUS. But then SCOTUS drops in this ruling as we're waking up Saturday morning that basically says Trump cannot utilize the 18th Century Alien Enemies Act. And we have senators going out of their way to basically undermine the president, go to a foreign nation. And now there's a story out here that Van Hollen might have broke a law that dates back to the 1700s. Where you undermine a president when you don't have the authority to do so in foreign negotiations. Why is this guy not being arrested?
Yeah, and I think, we can all get into the weeds about the back and forth with the courts, SCOTUS ordering the administration basically to facilitate this guy's return to the United States, and the White House will see what the next move is. But I think when we think about being a common sense person, when you look at last week with Patty Morin, Rachel Morin's mom, who spoke out on Monday when that animal who was here illegally brutally murdered and raped her daughter in Maryland. And those same Maryland officials who are now spending her tax dollars, for example, to go and make this effort for another illegal person. I just think the average taxpayer says, why are they focusing so much on this? I will give CNN's Dana Bash on her state of the, I know.
Miss Miserable.
Well, she did a good job. I'll give her credit. She interviewed Van Hollen, asking him directly yesterday, and she did push him and say, when you met with Borrego Garcia, did you ask him, is he an MS-13 member? And Bash went through and said he has the tattoos. The courts and law enforcement have said he is in this gang. Did you ask him about that? And basically, Van Hollen pivoted. She asked again, and he wouldn't answer. So I'll give her credit for the fact that she did at least ask that question and put it out there for the record that clearly Van Hollen never even asked,
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't fit the narrative.
That's right.
It's a sin.
And then you have SCOTUS, Justice Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito were the only two to dissent from the majority opinion. It was 7-2 in favor, not in favor, but against Trump. That came down on early Saturday morning. And then you have this act that apparently Van Hollen, you could argue, might have violated. It's called the Logan Act, which is a law prohibiting unauthorized diplomacy. And many people are saying that he should be arrested for this because it basically this goes back to Pennsylvania Senator George Logan, which stipulates a fine and or imprisonment for Americans that are corresponding with foreign officials, quote, with intent to influence their measures in relation to any disputes or controversies with the United States or to defeat the measures of the United States. And to your point, Dawn, you've got Patty Morin sitting here saying, why are my politicians in my state going to bat for this guy? And then, Sean, on Friday, you see him. There's a photo op with Van Hollen and Garcia. They look like they're at a restaurant having margaritas.
Wearing a Chiefs hat.
Wearing a Chiefs hat. Yeah, yes.
There you go. That's a gang symbol, too, by the way. The Logan Act has never been successfully prosecuted.
Of course not.
I think it has been tried two times. They attempted to get this with Mike Flynn. They didn't charge him with it, but they attempted to get it to get Mike Flynn on the Logan Act because he was contacting the Russians as a member of the Trump transition team. And they wanted to say that he was, conducting unauthorized talks, et cetera, but he was a member of the transition. Now, Van Hollen, it could be argued that he violated the Logan Act. I think it's a sound argument because you obviously have the administration that believes that Kilmer Borrego Garcia should be deported. You got two courts that believed he should have been deported. You have this bizarre claim that he didn't want to go back to El Salvador because he was afraid of being targeted by a rival gang, which would imply that he's a member of another gang if there's a rival gang that's trying to kill him, right? Just rival being the operative word. But the Logan Act says that no citizen, elected or otherwise, no citizen is allowed to conduct any sort of foreign policy discussions without the authority of the United States. People may argue on the contrary that because Van Hollen is a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee, he's allowed to do that, but he's not. OK, he's not allowed to negotiate foreign policy directives and positions on behalf of the administration if he is not authorized by the administration to do so. So, I mean, you could say that he was essentially violating the Logan Act, but are they going to prosecute it, or are they going to successfully prosecute it? Probably not, but it's definitely a worthy conversation, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't there doing the bidding of the Trump administration. We know that.
Yeah. It's just so infuriating, yet it's so simple. To me, if this was an accident, which I don't think it was an accident, I think we've seen ample evidence that he is a gang member. But if it was an accident, then you just undo it. And you sit there and you say, look, we've been tremendous with the border. Me personally, I would grade the Trump administration on the border. I'd give him an A+. The numbers are down 95% month over month, year over year, the first 2 months in office. They've sealed off the border. They've rounded up people with ICE. They've done deportations. Promises made, promise delivered, right? Promise kept. But if you made one mistake, one accident, nobody is really going to torch you for that. Now, the mainstream media will try to. So why would the Trump administration triple and quadruple down on a mistake if it was a mistake? I don't think it was a mistake, but this is the hill that the Democrats are willing to die on. They are willing to allow the previous president to let 15 million illegal immigrants into this country. And if we have a president that can't deport illegals and we make it so arduous of a task where it's always going to get tied up in litigation, then we don't have a border. What's the point of a border if we're not able to deport people, right? Like, the whole point is if you do get through, you're getting shipped out, especially if you're MS-13 or Tren de Aragua. That's why this administration designated them terrorist organizations, so there could be no ands, ifs, or buts about it. And if you fall into one of those categories, you have to go. And then you mentioned, I think, Sean, just now, something about rival gangs, and he didn't want to go back. I don't care what that guy wants. I want him the hell out of this country. I don't care about his rights. Talk about the rights of Americans who have been violated for the last 5 years, because the last president was given orders to let everybody in so that they could repopulate districts and turn swing states from purple to blue. Talk to me about that.
Let's be completely honest, too, about Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who admitted to police that he freely admitted to police that he came into the country illegally.
Yeah.
Freely admitted. Mm-hmm. Okay.
At
that
age 16.
Alone. Yeah. That alone. Okay. Means he can be deported. Okay. He shouldn't be here. Period. You came into the country illegally. He admitted that he came into the country illegally. Gang or not, he should be out. That's it. That's it. Okay. That's where I'm at. You know, people could say, oh, he has no criminal history. Yes, he does. He admitted to the crime of entering the country illegally. Now you can look at the wife who took out an order of protection against him, saying that that he hit her with a closed fist. And the reason why I said that is because she described it as being punched. Mm-hmm. You can't punch somebody with an open hand. So did that happen or did that not happen? Because if she was lying about that, now you got to go after her, okay? Because you can't do that, all right? I don't think she was lying about that. There seems to be no reason as to why she would have been lying about that. All of a sudden now, every time that she's asked about her husband and the abuse and the gang, you know, you saw what happened with Strahan. She just, is he a part of a gang? Did he hit you? He's alive. That's not what
it, yeah.
Did the gangs get to her? Is she being intimidated? I mean, it looks real ugly here. But the bottom line is the fact that these Democrats have decided that Kilmar Abrego Garcia is more important than you, than me, than Dawn, than our families, than the people we know, the legal American citizens in this country, mm-hmm. is just, that's the story. That it's not whether or not he's in a gang. That's part of the story. It's not whether or not he came in illegally. That's part of the story. The story is that the Democrats are fighting harder for him than they have ever fought for any one of us. Mm-hmm. And that should be the story. That should be the talking point. You know what? Save these conversations, put them into your AI clip generators, whatever, for 2026. These are your midterm ads. They're being made today.
There you go. 855-839-1210. The phone number. We'll come back. White House COVID admissions. Wait till you hear and see some of the screenshots that went up from the White House official site and their official position on COVID-19. Finally, we get to see it, and we'll give you the details next here on Kale & Company.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Just want to rip through these five bullet points and then the three big takeaways here. Number one, under the origins of COVID-19, the virus possesses a biological characteristic that is not found in nature. How about that? Number two, data shows that all COVID-19 cases stem from a single introduction into humans. This runs contrary to previous pandemics where there were multiple spillover events. Origin number three, Wuhan is home to China's foremost SARS research lab, which has a history of conducting gain-of-function research at inadequate biosafety levels. Origin number four, the Wuhan Institute of Virology and their researchers were sick with COVID-like symptoms in the fall of 2019, months before COVID-19 was discovered at the, quote, wet market. And then number five, by nearly all measures of science, if there was evidence of a natural origin, it would have already surfaced, but it hasn't. I saw that one of the social media influencers posted the official link on Friday. I think it was Charlie Kirk. Might have been Benny Johnson. And then you see the big three takeaways. Phil, if you want to throw this up on YouTube, this would be great. We're talking social distancing, mask mandates, and lockdowns. And all of us that ever had a doubt, that was skeptical, that was curious, that thought it was all nonsense, have been vindicated and justified 5 years later. Social distancing, quote, the 6 feet part, social distancing recommendation, which shut down schools and small businesses across the country, was arbitrary and not based on science. During closed-door testimony, Dr. Fauci even testified that the guidance, quote, sort of just appeared. It was like a pseudoscience. Hey, let's just take a shot at this. Everybody stay 6 feet apart. Mask mandates, no conclusive evidence that masks effectively protected Americans during the pandemic, and a constant back and forth on whether or not they work and what the efficacy of them are caused a massive uptick in public distrust. And of course, lockdowns, prolonged lockdowns caused immeasurable harm to not only the American economy, but the mental and physical health of Americans. And I believe it set back children at least a year and a half, 2 years academically. Sean, we talk about the rights of Kilmar Abrego Garcia. What about our rights that were violated during a pandemic where the experts were just basically grasping at straws for a year and a half? What about those?
We don't get rights. We don't get rights when it's for the common good, right? You know, the 6 feet thing is great. You know why it was 6 feet? Because in Europe, they don't use the metric, the imperial system. They use the metric system. And so if we had gone with 5 feet, it would have been something like 1 point. Let me see how many 5 feet. 5 feet would be like 1.8 or something, 1.9 meters. Whereas 6 feet, it's a safe 2 meters, right? So they had to do something that was going to fit the world. That's where it came from. I'm 100% sure of that, because if you know, five is a nice round number. Double that, you get 10. We get six. Where the hell does 6 feet come from? It's because it would work for global implications. You could say 2 meters or 6 feet, right? So it wasn't a real number that was based in science. It was something that would be easier to implement in foreign countries that don't use the imperial system. Our rights don't matter during a pandemic. We were told that. And if you argued with that, you're a bioterrorist who wanted to kill grandma. Uh-huh. You know, your rights don't matter when the left says they don't matter. They matter. If you're an illegal alien, you get due process. If you're a grandmother who prayed at the Capitol on January 6th, you do not get due process. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you pray outside of an abortion clinic, you also do not get due process. Mm-hmm. If you wear a red hat in public with four words on it, doesn't matter if it says make America great again, you do not get due process. But again, if you came into this country illegally, you get due process. So your rights don't matter when the left decides that they can be paused. That's just, those are the rules.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dawn, when we look at this, and you see things like social distancing, it sort of just appeared. And there's no studies out there that really show the efficacy of masks. You have people like Fauci and all of these lifelong bureaucrats in medicine that spent their entire life, quote, doing research. And then in the Super Bowl of their career, right, you hope and pray it never happens. But if you go into infectious diseases and things like Fauci's into, you want to be like, you know what, if a pandemic does occur, I want to be great at this. I want to get everything right. Not only did they get everything wrong, they lied to us, they shamed us, they deplatformed us. And now when the next pandemic occurs 5 years from now, 500 years from now, do you think there's going to be a lot of people out there that trust anything that these quacks say? I don't. I'm not going to march along to masks and social distancing. Not a chance in hell after what we went through.
Well, I think half the country would agree with that. You hope that the whole country would. I would say for us in the Northeast, think about the upcoming gubernatorial election in New Jersey. What we went through here in Pennsylvania, and specifically in Philadelphia, with among the strictest, toughest shutdowns in the entire nation. We were one of the last cities to open up. And you look at the deaths in our nursing homes, look at that and contrast that with New York as well as New Jersey. But that's why the next election for governor for New Jersey is so critical, because that governor of New Jersey doesn't have, or is the most powerful, I believe, the most powerful governor in the nation. So here in PA, we all got to vote, and we could pull back on some of the executive powers of the governor of PA, so that never again could a governor do what Governor Wolf did then with all of us, to our kids, to every one of us. It was crazy. It was ridiculous. But there's no such pullback, no such ability, no such check and balance against New Jersey's governor. And that's why that, for those of you in Jersey, if you're listening right now, this upcoming election is so critical that you vote the right way to make sure that the right governor gets in there.
Yeah, you're right.
Send a message.
Absolutely. Just look at this. Social distancing was made up. Masks don't work. And what they told us about the vaccine was not true. If you got the shot, you were good. You'd never get COVID again. You wouldn't spread COVID again. All of that was ridiculous. And I'll never forget this. I mean, this was August of 2021, Sean. I'm still living in Nashville. I'm starting law school. I'm a year and a half removed from being vaccinated for COVID-19. I got the first two shots 3 weeks apart, never got a shot again after that, never got a booster. And I go into law school, and Nashville School of Law, the night school, puts out an email the Friday night before the first class of law school on Monday, saying regardless of vaccination status, you must wear a mask on campus and in classrooms. Now, can you imagine sitting through a Monday night, a two-hour class on contracts and tort law, when your head's already about to explode after you've already worked a full day and you've got that stupid mask on your face that does nothing? That was one of the reasons why I was like, these are supposed to be well-educated people. See, 18 months into the pandemic, and I've got the shot, and I got to wear a mask at law school at night.
At least you were in person here in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. A lot of that was just virtual. People, this building that we're in right now, that we're broadcasting from, brand new building, was empty. I was here.
It still is empty.
Jimmy Kelly. No, I mean, it was spooky. I mean, seriously, there were a couple of us here, but everything was shut down, even though they said we were mandated.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have the vaccine, you couldn't, because of the city of Philadelphia, you could not come into work in person. And so there was that bullying, basically, to get vaccinated so you could come in person. But it was, I mean, for students, for workers, that's why our restaurants, it crushed family businesses.
Yeah.
It crushed the small businesses. We're still recovering here in Philadelphia, especially. We're still coming out of this.
Mm-hmm.
We're still recovering.
So spare me Kilmar Abrego Garcia and his rights.
Yeah. And by the way, the courts,
give me a break.
Speaking of the courts, we're still recovering. I'll be reporting on a big trial starting today. It was 6 years ago that a suspect opened fire, shooting officers. 6 years this trial is going to start today. Part of it because the courts were all shut down. You think about the mayhem and the criminals, they just took over. Because guess what? The gangs, they were not here, and the criminals here in Philadelphia, they were not wearing masks. They were not vaccinated. And they certainly were not zooming it in.
No,
the criminals kept on doing business. They were a few of the only ones.
Yeah, there was nothing like
stealing shrimp and tuna.
The tuna heist. We could have one coming up by
shrimp
Friday.
Shrimp one now, too.
Yeah, yeah,
shrimp one. 40 boxes of shrimp. What are you
crazy
doing?
I do love some shrimp, but I have an alibi. 855-839-1210. Hour two is on the way. Dawn will have some news to kick off the second hour. And also, we have the audio tape of the 911 audio that Dawn referenced for Cody Ballmer and Josh Shapiro. If we want to play that in the news, we can roll to that. Cut sheet at 7:45 when Harry joins us. Nick, Dawn, and Sean back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands. I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. These models with sleek new designs and innovative features, powered by the very latest in technology. And right now, Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles available across their Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles always stands out. Visit them. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.